Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Curious K podcast. My name is Kolapo, and I'm your host. Today, we are having a continuation of the AI series, a conversation we started earlier in the year. And you know, AI is, you know, there's a lot of conversation happening around AI about how powerful this technology is, how it can change the world, how dangerous it is. You know, but I mean, since the end of last year to now, you know, there's been a lot of innovation driven by artificial intelligence. You know, and one of these aspects is generative AI, right? Hopefully, you've probably heard of ChatGPT and host of other generative AIs out there, you know, that are transforming industry, all right? Making content creation easier, helping you to write your email in a smarter way, helping you with your business plan, helping you with so many things, right? And on this episode of the Curious K podcast, we are happy to have Muyiwa Ugundia join us, who is an AI and fintech strategist. Muyiwa is very passionate about AI. He's a product manager. He's worked with a couple of fintech companies like the eSettlement Limited, YetPay, and a host of others. And today, we'll be having conversation around generative AI, how it works, how the space is evolving very fast. We'll talk about some trends, you know, and how, and most importantly, how individuals, startups, and small businesses, you know, can take off generative AI today. So sit back, listen, and as you know, on Curious K podcast, we always ignite your curiosity. So sit back and relax, and ride with us on this wonderful conversation. So without much ado, please let us welcome Muyiwa Ugundia to Curious K podcast. You're welcome, Muyiwa. Thank you for joining us today on Curious K podcast.
Thank you for having me, Kolapo. It is a pleasure being on the Curious K podcast.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get into it. We're talking about generative AI, how it works, and some other, important, topics around this technology. But before we go, can you just tell us briefly about yourself?
All right. Thank you, Kolapo. So my name is Muyiwa, and I have over 10 years experience working in the tech space. I started off my career basically as a content writer. Then I moved to Terragon Group, and I worked there as like a content executive and also as an account manager, then a sales executive. And I've also worked in various capacities as a product manager or a product head at eSettlement Group, that's a fintech. I've also, on the side, I've done a lot of things concerning building chatbots, which is where my real passion lies. But mostly I like to see myself as a problem solver, and whatever I say I do, whatever job, is just a vehicle to help solve problems. Whether you're working as a product manager, as a content executive, there is something you want to achieve, and that set of skills is just a vehicle for you to solving a particular problem.
So let's talk about AI, right? You've had your experience in the fintech space, you've had experience building chatbots. How do they connect? How did you find out about artificial intelligence, right? How did that connect to you? And how did you got very enthusiastic about this technology, you know, that has led you to building chatbots?
So I think it was back in 2018 or 2019, you know, I was there as a tech executive. But I was looking at it that I really don't have a niche. And I was thinking about, okay, what can my niche be? At that time, I was looking at 3D printing, I was looking at social media, but those ones didn't really resonate with me. Then I think it was I think that there was one of these big social media influencers that time. And, you know, they were running like a program, or they wanted to do a course that time. And at that time, they used Facebook Messenger chatbot. And I looked at this thing and said, wow, this thing's very interesting. I looked at the technology and said, this is actually very nice. And I started doing some research on it. And I really fell in love with it that time. So I now learned how to build like Messenger chat. But I mean, I was like, okay, this guy has done something so cool. That's where everything started from.
Interesting. So, in a simple way, what can you tell us about generative AI and how is that different from the other type of artificial intelligence that exists out there?
All right, so generative AI is a type of artificial intelligence that can create new content such as text, images, music, and code. And it does this by learning from a large amount of existing data and then using that data to generate new outputs, that are similar to original data. So how that tends to be different from other AIs, typically other AIs tend to be more analytical, right? They tend to analyze maybe an image, maybe a text, and they can say, okay, this is what it is, this is what it is. But they don't necessarily give you a new output. They might say, okay, based on this set of numbers you gave us, this is a pattern. But what generative AI does is that it reads that set of numbers, right? And it says, okay, I can predict the next set of numbers that are coming, right? So that is how generative AI is different in the sense that it can output something new, whether it's text, it's images, it's videos, based on the information that was provided it. And this creates a whole new paradigm. Feed this thing here, right? And then you will get something similar, something that has never been done. Of course, they have the example of ChatGPT, where it has been trained on billions and billions. Basically, they've gone through almost the whole internet and scraped everything. If you have done a maybe written an article on Blogspot, on WordPress, they've probably gone there, taking your article and trained ChatGPT or their foundation models on it. So that is where it has now learned, okay, this is how human beings write. This is when maybe when you are writing about, let's say, cars, this is how human beings write about cars. And this when they are writing about maybe a Honda, this is how human beings write about a Honda. This is their sentiment around the Honda, and this is likely the next thing they will say. They just have that. That's in a very simplistic terms anyway, but that's how the technology works.
And there's been a lot of conversation. People have said out about how dangerous this technology is, AI. Some people have said it's the beginning of the end for the human race. There's a lot of conversation about ethics. Although we've had a conversation as part of the series, we've had a conversation on the ethical aspect of AI. So I encourage people to go check out that episode with Fiona. Was an amazing conversation. But I really want to hear your thoughts about this. What do you really think about this technology, right? And what are the things that you think will be possible in the future, even in the near future with this technology? I mean, there's a whole lot of things that are amazing, when it even comes to like the generative AI, about how this thing can generate text, video, maybe even voice outputs of people. So what are the things, what are your thoughts really about this technology? What are the things that we've not even seen yet, that you think might be possible in the nearest future?
Every technology is a tool, right? And I think it is correct to think of it as generative AI is as dangerous as a razor blade would be dangerous. It's as dangerous as a pencil would be dangerous. It is not necessarily about the tool or the technology, but about whose hands is it on, right? Every tool, everything can be dangerous. A piece of paper can be dangerous. Anything can be dangerous in the hands of the wrong person, depending on how they use it. So it's not necessarily about the technology, it's about the kind of people that are using it. And that is where I think the ethical side of it comes in. I think the ethics should focus more not on what the technology can or cannot do, but how to regulate people using it, how to ensure that the technology is used responsibly, how to ensure that the technology is not used wrongly. Today we are seeing a lot of applications. I mean, I saw like an article saying that a lot of university students, even here in Nigeria, are, whenever they give them an assignment, just go on ChatGPT, generate something, submit it, use ChatGPT. And the AI content detectors, a lot of them that have gone out, like some, for example, the ones that OpenAI themselves did, have been found that they can't really distinguish between human writing and AI writing. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to accurately distinguish it. So, of course, we're going to have a lot of those dangers. For example, now, I think a few months ago, there was this song that was put up on Spotify, and it was an AI-generated song that I think it was Drake and one other actor. They just got a sample of Drake's voice, got the lyrics, fed the AI with the lyrics and Drake's voice, and made a banger out of it. Used generative AI again to create a beat. And they put it up on Spotify, and the thing was trending in the top 10 in many countries. And Drake saw it, and he got up so upset. And of course, he issued a copyright strike, and the Spotify had to take it down. But that was just AI generated using Drake's voice, was in top 10. So we're going to have a lot of these issues of plagiarism, a lot of issues of impersonation. Of course, there was another one I saw that, you know, some people will call you up and all they need is like 3 seconds of your voice. After that, they can clone your voice and then they'll start calling your loved ones. Of course, every one of us has maybe a video or two out there that we've recorded that is in the public domain. Somebody can just take up that one, record your voice via AI, and then look at your relatives and then, you know, start calling them or spamming them and say, oh, I'm in danger, I need this money, I need this money, I need this money. And so people wouldn't go and they'll send to you. I have a number of examples like that. People that, some of my friends that know people that, you know, have fallen into scams like that already. And of course, we have the issue of fake news too. Today, I mean, there was this image that really went viral, which really highlighted the dangers of generative AI. And that was the image of the Pope, the current Pope, and he was wearing this kind of winter jacket, looking kind of gangster. And even when I saw the image, I thought it was real, but it was, you know, generated via Midjourney. And that was when, you know, the alarm bell started ringing that, wow, this thing is very, very dangerous. So we're already seeing it there. A lot of fake images are going to be coming out. A lot of people are going to be accused falsely, you know. A lot of people are going to be accused falsely and say, okay, they did this when they didn't do this. You know, for example, now, something that was very disturbing, you know, the relationship the popular singer Justin Bieber had with another popular singer, Selena Gomez. Of course, that didn't work out. What happened was that somebody took their relationship and created, like, what if they had children? So they did this Midjourney image generation, and they sold Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber with like 3 or 4 kids. And people were looking at it and wow, but it was very disturbing. And you could only imagine what the actor, or sorry, what the musician thought about that, you know, seeing this kind of thing is kind of creepy. So people, like I said, it's not necessarily about the tool, it's about the people using it. And there are a lot of bad people out there. So obviously this technology, because of the bad people, are going to be used for very bad reasons. That is what is currently available. For the future, I'm looking at, man, I mean, there's already so much possible now. We have AI that can take a still image and just start animating it. Maybe for now, it's able to do just a few seconds, but in the next 1 year, it's going to be able to do a lot more. In the next maybe 1 year, 2 years, you're just going to be going up on your computer and type, hey, I want a 5-minute video, a 5-minute movie on maybe a Nigerian police officer and a UK police officer meeting, a comedy skit, and it will just generate it for you like that. You could say, you can type in another prompt or an additional prompt that I want this skit in the tune or in the creative style of someone, a comedian like Sabinos, and then it will just generate all that for you. But even in the midst of all these things, right, like I said, it is a tool. And the tool is only as good as the person using it. Even the most potent of tools like guns and all those things, people still have to be trained to use it effectively. So in as much as the technology is there, if you are not going to upskill and train yourself to use it, it's not really going to do anything for you.
All right. I mean, those are like really, I mean, jaw-breaking stories in terms of the way people are really manipulating these technologies, right? But let's explore like the business side, right? I mean, how can small businesses, quite a number of startup founders, you know, listen to this podcast, right? And small business owner, how can businesses, right, take advantage of generative AI today? You know, as a founder or even an operator working in a tech startup, What are some of these tools, that you can take advantage of? And if you can share some examples with us.
Right, so with your average ChatGPT, with your existing ChatGPT right now, and not just ChatGPT, other foundational models, other large language models like Bard, Hugging Face, the one from Meta, that's the one from Microsoft that is Bing Chat. A lot of them can do so much right now. So I want a founder or a business owner to think of it as, you might not have money or you might not have the budget to hire maybe a content writer, to hire a marketer, to hire several professions. But with this ChatGPT, you already have like 80% of that talent, even if it's maybe in a junior capacity. So what you can do, for example, if you're a business owner, let's say business has been a bit tough, you can just go to your ChatGPT and say, "Hey, I am a business owner for this. I have this type of business. Recommend strategies that I can enhance my sales in the next 30 days in Lagos, Nigeria." And ChatGPT will come up with some information for you. You can say, "Okay, this is nice. How do I mean, to come up with like 5 points for you. Maybe you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can target this." Even if you don't know your target market, you can ask it, "Okay, for this particular kind of product, let's say I want to start selling biscuits or I want to start selling dresses. How do I target people who is the target market for me?" Right? And once you just type that in, ChatGPT will be able to say, "Okay, these are your target markets. This is the kind of people that will be interested in this product." So you already have like a, how would I say, like a focus group, a mini focus group with ChatGPT. There's so much you can do with it. Do you need documentation? Do you need product ideas? You can say, "Okay, I have this product idea. Give me possible competitors or possible things that have been done similarly." Then it will give you there. Then you can ask it, "How can I differentiate myself on this?" It will also give you that example. So then another thing for me that I do, because I do a lot of presentations, I do a lot of applications, sometimes I can just post my resume to a particular place, and maybe I want to apply for something. I can just say, "Okay, post my resume, post the job description." Just enter a prompt saying, "Using the resume and the job description, please come up with a cover letter for this." And in seconds, one thing I didn't like doing in a lot of applications was writing cover letters. So with that, you can easily get a cover letter. And even if you are applying for a pitch deck, you can just say, "Okay, I have a business that focuses on this. Help me write a 10-slide pitch deck on this," and it will come up with it for you in seconds. Of course, this might not be good enough, but from what you have, you can take it and you can show it to a marketing friend. You can take it and you can just work on it, add a few things, remove a few things, and come up with something very good. So it saves you time. It generative AI tools allow a generalist to become more specialized and allows a specialist to become more generalized, right? Because you now have this personal AI companion. Just think of it as maybe you've now become an Iron Man with a Jarvis, that you can just say, "Hey, Jarvis, help me do one, two, three things," and it will help you do those things.
Interestingly, and what do you think the impact of this will be on entry level individuals like interns, for example? I had a recently a session recently that was supposed to get digital marketing interns for startups, right? And now we are talking about pushing prompts, to generative AI platform like ChatGPT to give me ideas, maybe marketing ideas or digital marketing ideas, or maybe even things to post for the next 30 days. So what do you think about this balance, with entry level folks, and how these maybe the technology can impact, the chances of people getting employed going forward?
All right, so there was there was this news that went viral a couple of months ago about an Indian that developed a ChatGPT-like chatbot, and it was so successful. According to him, it was so successful that they fired like 90, 80 to 90% of their customer success team in just a few months.
Wow. Wow.
Now, it went viral. CNN covered it. A lot of people were very upset with that news. Whether that was true or he just said that for clout, but it was scary. I mean, I have some examples of, I've heard some stories about Nigerian companies having to cut down the number of content writers in their team. They say, okay, what 9 people can do, 2 people can now do with ChatGPT, right? And so going forward, for you, one of the skills that you're going to, people are going to need to have is prompt engineering, the ability to really get the best out of large language models. And there is a, well, I say there's a bit of an art and a science to it, even though you think of it as Googling, right? Googling something, that's searching for something on the internet. Everybody can do it easily, right? You can just type in something and generally you get a few answers. But if you want to be very granular, you want to search for very specific things, there is a skill level that is required to use it. So for interns, right, it is, of course, that's one thing you have to take note. So for interns, it's always good to have a base level knowledge of prompt engineering, how to utilize large language models to get the answers you want. Then another thing that needs to know is that it still doesn't eliminate the need for domain knowledge, right? Because ChatGPT has a very big flaw, or large language models have a very big flaw called hallucinations. And what those hallucinations means is that it makes up answers, you know? So if you are just someone that is just going to copy and paste everything a large language model or a ChatGPT sends for you, you are going to run into a lot of errors. I use ChatGPT a lot of times. I'll look at what he's writing and, you know, I'll be able to say that this is nonsense. You know, I'll have to edit a few things. And sometimes he just keeps outputting nonsense and say, I can't use this at all. Many times it comes up with something useful, but there are some times that it comes up with nonsense. And then after a while, you know, once you are used to generating a lot of prompts and using stuff, I can, to a large degree, I can tell whether something has been generated by ChatGPT just by reading it. I'll look at this article in the next 1-2 seconds. Like I said, this is ChatGPT. You know, it's when you use it a lot, you tend to recognize the patterns of how it talks. I mean, that is when you give it a basic prompt. But for someone who has really gone into prompt engineering, it's very difficult to detect. So for me, I feel like it doesn't eliminate the need of domain knowledge. In fact, what we are going to be seeing is that people are going to be hiring most people that have more specialized, that are more specialized in their domain, people who are very confident, people who know facts about their domain, not that they can necessarily, because now learning for everybody has become a lot easier. So we'll need to hire people who are a bit more specialized in their domains before, you know, you can get a job.
Interesting. You mentioned something around prompt engineering. All right. So for listeners, can you break that down? You know, how does that work? Is it basically my input into the generative platform? Can you just break down what you mean by prompt engineering? Maybe there is some specific approach that you use that, or maybe platforms that can facilitate people's proficiency in using that.
All right. So prompt engineering is just a very sexy way of saying what the text inputs or what you ask your generative AI app to do. For example, we could go to ChatGPT and ask him that, tell me a joke about the weather, or tell me a joke about the rainy season in Lagos State. And, you know, it will come up with something. What if I were to use prompt engineering for that? So that is like our text prompt. Prompt engineering means you just, you know, getting the best out of your generative AI app, because there are different roles your generative AI app can play. There's what is called a system role. There's what is called a user role, right? And then there is the content. So the system role, you can tell it to assume. If I were to enter that one, like with very detailed prompt engineering, I'll say, as you are an expert Nigerian comedian, you speak like, you crack jokes like Alibaba. I want you to give me a joke about Nigerian rainy season, noting how it used to cause flooding in highbrow areas like Lekki. Give examples of the damage and the funny things that have happened Now, that would give me a more granular answer, a more detailed answer, a more refined answer than just saying, hey, tell me jokes about rainy season in Nigeria. So are you getting that? I am now told by telling it that you are a, by imputing the prompt, you are an expert Nigerian comedian. I have told it to assume a system role now. That is now the new system role, right? It's now going to be an expert. And then from there, everything else you are going to be telling it is going to be saying, okay, I'm now, you don't need to tell it to tell a joke again. Everything you now, every other prompt you now tell it will now be as that role. You can tell it that you're an expert digital marketing, you're an expert digital marketer that helps startups scale with a tight budget. Then you can now tell it that we are a startup based in Lagos, Nigeria, that has three staffs, and we are looking at, you can even tell it your budget, 1 million naira, and you know, we want to do a marketing campaign that will reach X type of people, Y type of people, Z type of people. And it will now give you granular answers, very granular answers that you can take actionable steps on. So that's really the difference. That is where prompt engineering comes in, not just in general, hey, I'm just typing anything and I'm getting good answers, but they can be much, much, much better.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that, Muyiwa. Thank you for sharing that. So as we round up, is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
So I do feel like for individuals, these are the time to leverage on generative AI. Like I said, this thing is free, and the vast majority of the number of people that know about generative AI are still very, very small, like 1% of the population in Nigeria, like not even up to 10% of people in the world know about generative AI. You know, as much as we are hyping it as a negative, most people in the world still don't know about it. So there, even though it seems saturated because we are living in this our bubble, there are a lot of value to still be created from it. So it's very imperative for you as a small business owner, as a big enterprise also, you can take advantage of this technology. And you know, this is an area where a lot of regulation hasn't come in yet. In the coming months and maybe years, we'll see a lot of regulation. So really, if you are going to be an expert, take advantage of it, get the best out of it, now is the time to leverage on it. It is super easy to use, not difficult at all, and you know, this is the time to take advantage of it.
I like that. Thank you very much, Muyiwa, for being on the show. I mean, this has really been a very insightful conversation. I believe listeners out there have learned a few things, you know, about generative AI and how, you know, they can incorporate it into their businesses and their daily lives. Thank you very much, and we really appreciate you for taking out the time to be on CuriousKey Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure always.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and see you next time. Remember, always stay curious. Bye-bye.